The Kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport and talk for Liverpool.
This is Radio City Talk.
Tony Scott has joined me early doors. Something got him out of bed early. Morning, Toe.
Good morning, Steve.
Must have been the Champions League draw. He must have been exceptionally excited about seeing who Liverpool's opponents would be.
No, it's called the Cheltenham Gold Cup.
Champions League draw is at 11 o'clock today in Neon. Is the Europa League just a little bit later? Does it come off the back of it?
Yeah, just shortly after, yeah.
So the teams Liverpool can get, what are we on now? Real Madrid, Barca, Bayern Munich, Roma...
Manchester City.
Oh, this is off the top of our head. Who have we forgotten? Oh. Who's the good draw besides Roma? Sevilla?
Yes, Sevilla.
So that's six. So who are we missing? There's one left.
There's a team.
You say Real Madrid, Barcelona? Juventus.
Juventus.
There you go.
They're the team you do not want to play.
Okay.
I think it
do
would,
you think so?
Yeah,
over
I
two
think,
legs?
I think it would suit Liverpool to play a Real Madrid, a Barcelona, a Manchester City. Teams that love to attack. You've seen what Liverpool have done to Manchester City this season. Liverpool have done to them. So you know what they're capable of. I think a team like Juventus, what they've done to Tottenham, do a number, come over to Wembley, next minute shut up shop for basically 60 minutes, bang, bang, two goals and shut up shop again. I think Liverpool will find that very difficult to come up against where it is in a Real Madrid, a Manchester City and a Barcelona. Liverpool love to play these expansive teams like Arsenal. And that type of calibre of a team that will come out and be expansive at Anfield, whereas in Juventus, they won't come out their own half at Anfield, and that's where Liverpool will struggle.
And Juve have got some knowledge, and it certainly counts. So your Max Allegri's of the world, Real Madrid, even so, everyone's saying they're declining, but you know they obviously know how to win the thing. Barca the same. Although saying that, look at Manchester United this week, and Jose's got all the knowledge in the world.
Yeah.
And yet, what a tepid, awful display by his side to, you know, get knocked out of the Champions League.
I think he underestimated. I think what Manchester United done was thought that the first leg was that was it. We're in. I think in this day and age, if you were to take a 0-0 away from home in Europe, it's normally seen as a good result, isn't it? But now teams are going over there, hang on, we've got to get a goal here because we can't go back to our own patch with a 0-0 because all it takes is what Sevilla done was to score a goal late on and next minute Manchester United has got to score two. So I think the emphasis now is on the away team. Whoever this draw is today, the emphasis is on the away team to get a goal away from home because if you don't, you're struggling then. All pressure is on you to get at least two goals because all it takes that away team to score one goal and you've had it.
Can't wait for this. 11 o'clock today. Loads of Reds will be on 10 Talks for that one. Let's have a look at some of the back pages of the papers today. We'll start with the Times here. Southgate cuts Cahill from Russia plans. Gareth Southgate showed his ruthless streak by jettisoning Gary Cahill from the World Cup plans. His hopes of going to Russia appear bleak as he was omitted from the 27-man party for the friendlies with Holland and Italy. That squad that was released yesterday, it is so underwhelming. Oh. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Well, I mean, that squad isn't winning the World Cup.
It's got no chance. It's got absolutely no chance. And you're looking at it, you're thinking, and even Harry Kane, obviously he's injured, and any inspiration you've got and what you're looking forward to this World Cup is, do you know what, England? Don't let us down. At least get out the groups and make a fist of it in the last 16 quarter final. I know the expectation level is fantastic in England. It always should be, considering the amount of money that is poured into English football. But I just think when you look at other teams, Brazil, their lineup, their forward three.
Yeah. Argentina's ludicrous.
It's frightening.
Isn't it?
Absolutely frightening. And you look at England, you go, apart from Harry Kane, where are you struggling? Where are you going with it? Name me a player with a carrot.
Well, then you're hoping that a Dele Alli steps to the fore, aren't you? But even then, there's only a few players in the side that are really going to get you excited. Raheem Sterling, Dele Alli, Harry Kane.
Hasn't had the best of seasons this season.
So once you've gone past those three, you sort of go, oh, look at the midfield. It's a little bit underwhelming.
You've got to look at even in the same group as them, Belgium. Now, Belgium play England, you're thinking, you're praying for the goal score. You're going, who's the inspiration to get us out of this group? Apart from, I say, honestly, look at England's squad, and apart from Harry Kane, there's absolutely no one to get you going. Harry Kane would probably walk into the most, if you were looking at it, I know it's a stupid argument, but if Harry Kane, he could play in any country in the World Cup, play for any team. He gets in, where are the other players? Where do they go in? They wouldn't get in any teams because they're really, really poor sides, and it's sad. But you can understand where Gareth Southgate's coming from to a certain extent because the percentage of plays he's got to pick from, it's diminishing. I think it was someone said like it's like 12 or 15% of players in the Premier League at English. So if he's going to a Premier League match, he's only looking at arguably two or three players. The rest are all foreign. So I've sort of got a bit of sympathy for him, but the onus is on him, and this is where he's paid handsomely, isn't he?
Right inside the Times today, Arsenal lift gloom to keep European hopes alive. So this was last night. Arsenal beating AC Milan again. So over the two legs, 5-1. That's a really decent job Arsenal have done there, because AC Milan have been having a great time in Serie A.
They have, but they're not the force of once they was. When you're thinking of AC Milan and Inter Milan, all these big teams in Italy, I think someone alluded to me the other day that I think the last time AC Milan were in the Champions League was somewhere like 8-9 years ago. Well, it's frightening considering this is AC Milan. But obviously they've had to go backwards before they can get back up again. And yeah, it is a good result for Arsenal. But AC Milan were arguably the best, one of the best, better teams in it. I think it would be a fantastic swan song, wouldn't it, for Arsene Wenger to go out on a high, win that Europa League, get the Champions League spec. And then I think it'd be fitting for him to retire then. The fans would go away, give him that guard of honour, so to speak, because he deserves it, Steve. I know the pressure's on him at the moment. He's not doing too so well in the league, and the signings haven't come to fruition. But I just feel as if he's owed this. He's owed this big time, this big day in May, obviously Europa League final. Get that fourth spot, and I think that would be his swan song.
Tony, I'm not sure he can win it. Have you seen the teams left in it? Atletico Madrid. They've been awesome over the last two legs they played. Scored five, I think. Was it who did they play? Was it Lokomotiv Moscow?
Or the early
first leg
off,
of that one. Marseille is still in. Lazio, Sporting Lisbon, RB Leipzig, Red Bull Salzburg and CSKA Moscow. So it's a tough old...
It's a tough one, Steve, but I would fancy Arsenal. If you were to look at them teams, what do you fear playing Arsenal, I think, in the latter stages?
Okay, back of the mirror today. You're a cheat, Danny. This is the accusation that Danny Welbeck won a penalty through a dive. Also, Jamie Carragher makes the back of the mirror today instead of the front page for once. Jamie Carragher wants Liverpool to land Barcelona in the Champions League quarter-final draw. Having done it himself, of course.
Yes,
before,
he did, didn't he?
In the Europa League as well. Europa League, UEFA Cup. UEFA
Showing
Cup.
Showing your age.
As it was back then. Oh, my goodness me.
Showing your age.
Yeah, the old Gary Mack game where he scored the pen at Anfield. Yeah. But he's saying he'd rather have that showdown now, pit themselves against the best in the world. Let's have a look at what else we've got. Here we go, The Echo today. Sam on a mission. We'll talk about the Blues in about 20 minutes' time. All right, and also Red Stars racism agony. Gini Wijnaldum and Emre Can recall sickening abuse. Have you read this article yet? Mm-hmm. No? I'll tell you what, I'll have a read of that at the break and I'll tell you a bit more about what that's about. Get a Grip Eddie is the back of the mail today. Sir Clive Woodward has warned Eddie Jones to cut the nonsense following the England coach's offensive comments about Ireland and Wales that emerged this week. Were you offended by them? I just took it as you know, one of those bits of banter that you get with a show.
I totally agree, yeah.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Okay, that's the back of the mail today. And what other papers have I got? Let me pull out another one. Oh, I can never get the back of the Star straight away. Cheltenham Festival takes a heavy prominence in the Star. You've had an okay Cheltenham so far?
Yeah, not done too bad.
Yeah, and what are you looking at today? The Gold Cup?
The Gold Cup, big day. With this arguably the second biggest day in the recent calendar. Cheltenham Gold Cup, looking forward to it, 3:30. It's a great spectacle as well. A lot of people tuning in. Not your normal punters, so to speak. They'll tune in and have a couple of quid on the Cheltenham Gold Cup. I'll be giving them one or two tips later on, Steve.
Well, come on, give me a tip.
Last year,
you told me the winner, didn't you?
Yeah, I did tell you the winner, Sizing John. The winner, I like the look of the same jockeys on the game this year. It's called R Duke. Well, it's won an Irish Grand National. And it's beat a horse called Presenting Percy came out this weekend at Cheltenham and absolutely romped home. So the form is just being franked quite comfortably, and I really fancy it to run a big race. But the horse I do like, and I've saved a lot of money for it. It's the first race today. It's called Apple Shakira. You can get 2-1 for it. It's an absolute unbelievable horse, and I'm expecting it fully to get past the post first.
The Scotty Betts TV podcast will be up later on this afternoon. Or will it actually? Because he might just have had a couple of Guinnesses on a pre-St Patrick's Day celebration watching Cheltenham. He said you can do it later or you can do it this morning.
I'll do it Saturday morning.
Hungover. All right, so have a listen now to some of his thoughts on what might happen with the local footy this weekend. Let's start with Everton. So Everton with just one away win so far this season.
Do we have
season.
To talk about Everton How Football still, Club away from home?
It's March the 16th. They're still on one away win this season.
It's bad, isn't it? It's absolutely atrocious. They've lost 5 away games on the spin. They haven't lost 6 on the spin since October 1994, when they lost 8 on the spin. Mm. It's horrendous, Everton's form on the road, and you've got to feel sorry for them Everton supporters. You forked out a lot of money, paying good money for tickets and travel expenses and coaches and trains and petrol in your cars, etc. And they've just had nothing to shout about for all season. Newcastle away, that one win, and it's poor. It's really, really poor. And a club of Everton's stature, the money that's been spent this season, that's not good enough. They're away form, and they've had to rely on the home form to get themselves out of trouble, which home form's fantastic. I think they've lost one match in 11 or 12 at home, but away from home, it's shocking. But they're playing Stoke this weekend, and don't forget, this is a reverse of the opening day fixtures. It seems to forget, like, Liverpool are playing Watford this weekend, Everton are playing Stoke, who they played on the opening game of the season when Wayne Rooney came back and scored that header. And it's just, when you see fixtures like...
Sorry, is this the reverse for the reverse whole league?
The whole league, yeah, the opening day fixtures.
So why did it happen on this date?
Well, it was meant to be, but there's a lot of FA Cup fixtures this weekend, right, as well, so it's sort of meant it. But Everton versus Stoke this weekend. Stoke have only lost one of their last 8 home matches against Everton, so Stoke will fancy themselves against Everton. Obviously, away the poor record Everton have got. Now, Paul Lambert has never beaten Everton as a manager, 2-3 and lost 4. But Wayne Rooney's the man for me in this one. He scored 3-3 against Stoke. But if I was looking from a betting perspective, and I noticed it last weekend, Steve, is that Wayne Rooney played in a defensive midfielder role, and he played really well. And first 5 minutes in, he was kicking lumps out of everyone. And then when he obviously matured throughout the game, he played really well as in holding role, because Everton had no Idris Gueye, no Morgan Schneider in the team, obviously. So the onus was on Wayne Rooney to play as a defensive midfielder in front of the back four. And he played brilliant, spread the field to play brilliant. But I think it's a good possibility he could get booked in this role. Obviously, the type of player he is, he got 1 or 2 tackles late. Obviously, he hasn't got that pace no more. So I think the bit of value in there, and Wayne Rooney to be carded at 7-2 there against Stoke, which could be a bit of value in that one. And don't forget, Leighton Baines is going to be on the penalties as well. Back on the penalties, he's 10-1 to score any time, Leighton Baines. So if Everton get a penalty, Leighton Baines is going to be on it.
I fancy St. Tosin to score. I think maybe just a little rise in confidence levels.
2-2 for Cenk Tosun. He's in form. You can sort of see he's got it. He's a decent centre forward. I think what he's going to need is a good pre-season at Everton with a new manager, dare I say, in the summer. A new pre-season regime, new players. So we can get to know. It's hard for a foreign guy to come in January, especially of all times. Everton was struggling. They needed a centre forward to come in there straight away. And he's done okay. He's put himself about, scored 2-2. And yeah, he's well worth a shout. If Everton can play to his strengths, obviously, they've got no Gylfi Sigurdsson, obviously, for the crosses no more. So they're going to have to look and see for another dimension to try and get Cenk Tosun in the mix. But I think I wouldn't put it past them getting a goal. And if he can get 1 or 2 or 3 goals now from now to the end of the season, his confidence will be flying going into next pre-season. And for the new manager, whether it be... I'm saying new manager, it's more than likely to be a new manager at Everton in the summer. He could be the standout centre forward to save Everton a few quid.
Is David Klaassen all of a sudden involved in the equation with Gylfi Sigurdsson being injured?
I can't see it. I know there's a clamour of Everton support for him. It's like... they want to see him do well because we've spent so much money on him, and he's got the attitude where he wants to do well. And you can't fault that. You can't fault his endeavour and his effort and his attitude and everything else. But I just can't see what he's got, Steve. Nobody reminds you of knowing... Do you know when you're playing football in 5-a-side or 6-a-side with your mate, and you ask someone to make the numbers up, who just puts himself about, who hasn't got like a bit of a footballing brain, who just gets stuck in and runs off the ball, and he reminds me of him, and he just seems to be struggling like a lost boy. And I sympathise with him, but then I think, well, do you know what, lads, you're getting paid handsomely there for keeping fit. Do you know what I mean? And I know his attitude's great and everything else, but he's got to look a lot better than what I've seen so far. And I know he's been given a strict limit of the time at Everton, but in the time I've seen him, and for, what is it, 3 managers, Ronald Koeman, David Unsworth, now Sam Allardyce, to have seen, I know they haven't done, who are they to say that the managers, but I look at it now and thinking, if 3 managers have seen this guy in training week in, week out, and still not picking him,
They've all had the same opinion. There must be something consistent obviously running through them. What about the goalkeeper, Jordan Pickford? He was named yesterday in the England squad for the friendlies coming up with Italy and the Netherlands as well. Would you have him as your number one choice for the World Cup?
Well, who else is the Joe Hart?
Joe Hart seems to be the number one choice, doesn't he?
Joe Hart, have you seen the horrendous mistakes he's made this season? Mm. Now, Jordan Pickford, I can count on one hand how many he's made this season. He's been Everton's best player this season by a long stretch. And I know that's not the perfect accolade to have this season, considering where Everton have done, what Everton have done. But Jordan Pickford has been outstanding for Everton this campaign. And out of all the signings Everton have made in the summer and in January, spent £200 million in your Walcott and everything else, your Michael Keane, Klaassen, Sandro, Rooney coming back. All these players bought, Jordan Pickford's probably been the one that represents value. Bought him for, what, £25 million, something like that. Now, arguably, you could... you could sell him for, what, £40 million now? Easy, quite easily. Man United wouldn't be surprised if they come sniffing in the summer if David De Gea goes. So I just think that just goes to show you and backs up how well Jordan Pickford has played for Everton this season. He should be England's number one, no doubt.
Yeah, he's an absolute cracker, hasn't he? Right, so yellow card for Wayne Rooney is your thoughts on the best for that game. Many goals or not?
No, I can't see many goals in a Stoke-Everton match.
1-1 or 1-0?
If it's a game, it'll be a 1-0 last-minute poke or maybe even a 1-0, but it's not one to be on BT or Sky, let's put it that way.
Well, maybe a game in contrast is Liverpool against Watford earlier this season, 3-3. Last season, Liverpool hit 6 against them, so it's clearly a fixture that has goals in it.
It definitely does, Steve. I think Watford are winless in their last 8 Premier League matches again in the last Premier League. Drew 1, lost 7, scoring just 2 goals in them last 8 away matches. So Watford on the road really, really struggle. Liverpool have won 9 of their last 10 home matches against Watford, so you would fancy Liverpool to win. I think that last Watford win at Anfield was 1999 when Watford first came to the Premier League. Do you remember that?
Gosh, I can't.
Yeah, I think
I might have been there, but I can't remember.
I was looking at the stats the other day.
Was it a 1-0 or a...
Yeah, I think it was a 1-0. A Mooney goal, a Tommy Mooney goal.
I'll get this up. I've got a little stat pack. I'll find out. Go on.
You get it up. Anyway, there's an interesting stat for you, Steve. There's never been a goalless draw between these two teams in the top flight. And I can't see it being another goalless draw again. I really can't. Now, interesting you say about them goals, Steve. There's been 21 matches between Liverpool and Watford, and they produced 72 goals. That's averaging 3.4 per game. So you fully expect Liverpool and Watford to be in everyone's over 2.5 and over 3.5 goals. Liverpool are unbeaten in 17 home matches in the Premier League. And here's another interesting fact for you, Steve. Jurgen Klopp has never lost 2 consecutive Premier League matches.
That is interesting. You are right about that Watford stat, actually. Watford's only league clean sheet at Anfield came when they recorded their one victory in front of the Kop in August 1999. Tommy Mooney scoring for Graham Taylor's men.
That one win.
It's not much. There's a lot of teams have got a problem with coming to Anfield, isn't it? How do you rate Watford's season as a whole?
If you were to probably ask a Watford fan at the start of the campaign, would you take mid-table? They'd bite your arm off. But I just think the way it's...
all this managerial uncertainty they have
as a club. It always is at Watford, though, Steve. Every time you look at Watford, they've got a new manager. And I just think, what happened with Marco Silva? It's because they got off to a fantastic start under Marco Silva. I think they reached the heights of 4th and they were playing really well. Took on some big teams. As I said, they got a point against Liverpool the opening day. Went to Chelsea and played well. Beat some big teams. And obviously, once Marco Silva was linked with Everton, it sort of evaporated then, didn't it? He's shown the door and you've got a new manager in now. So I just think with Watford, every time I watch them, they've got a new manager and there's no stability in the club at all. I just feel Liverpool is a confident better. And I fully expect Liverpool at 1-5 to be dismantling Watford. Watford are as big as 16-1. You can put another 0 on the end of that.
Watford have picked up 1 point from a possible 24. on offer on their travels.
That's worse than Everton.
That's absolutely shocking.
It is, it's poor.
Are you sure Big Sam isn't managing them
exactly
at the moment? Liverpool's defeat to Manchester United last week will have been a little bit of a dent in the confidence, won't it? I don't think they saw that. I don't think many of us saw that coming.
I did. I told you last week. And you wouldn't have it. Oh, we go there. We'll get
I was swept along with the tide of confidence, I think. But
I just thought as Man United just blew hot and cold in that game, got the 2 goals early on, and you could see where Liverpool, Man United's tactics were coming from. Just give it to Rom, he'll hold the ball up, and we'll play the ball to Rashford. And Rashford give Trent a torrid time, didn't he? And Dejan Lovren didn't come himself in any glory whatsoever when it comes to Mark and Romelu Lukaku. So, and they were basic, just basic goals Liverpool conceded as well. I spoke to a lot of Liverpool fans after the match and he said, you understand if Pogba picks up the ball from 40 yards and puts one in the top corner or Rashford. They were basic goals. A lump up the pitch. Lukaku holds it up, plays it to Rashford. Rashford cuts inside and scores. That's just basic defence and Liverpool should be able to cut with. And I just feel as if Liverpool want to be called the second best team in the Premier League, because that's what that game was basically, wasn't it? Man United, is all selling well and good. What we've seen this season with them is that they're not great to watch. But if you look at it on the whole and just being knocked out of the Champions League, they could arguably finish second in the Premier League and win the FA Cup. Right. And that would probably be classed as... And if you were to ask any big team in the top six, by the way, Steve, if you were to say, would you take a trophy on top four? I think arguably, if you were to ask most teams in the top six, they'd take that.
They'd go for it, wouldn't
they? Yeah, of course.
Let's give the guide to Cheltenham Festival. We touched on it before, but you love your Cheltenham. Lots of people out there will be thinking of maybe a little wager, particularly with it being the Gold Cup today. It's not just that race, though. How should people be looking at today overall, Tony?
I just think if we're looking at Cheltenham, you've got to be looking at horses who've... Cheltenham Hill, it finds a lot of horses out. You wouldn't believe. If you look at it, the Cheltenham on the festival on the television, you don't see the hill, the running, until you actually get to the course itself, and take it from me, it's a hill, and also struggle. There's a horse that's well fancied in this race called Might Bite in the Cheltenham Gold Cup, and the way, if you get a chance, go on YouTube and type in Might Bite Cheltenham, and it doesn't like the hill, it struggles, it just goes waywards, it just doesn't like you, and it finds a lot of horses out. The horse I fancy in this is a horse called Arduke. Robbie Powers on board. Won the race last year on Size and John. Now, Arduke, I really like the look of. It's got everything. It ticks every box if you're looking for a Gold Cup winner. Won the Irish Grand National in 2017. And it beat a fantastic horse who's come out and franked the form this week in presenting Percy. Robbie Powers on board, as I've just touched on, knows how to win a Gold Cup. He's your mate, Steve. You're going to be backing him as well.
He's a good lad.
He's a good lad.
I'll tell you what,
he's not bad for the Reds, is he?
He loves Liverpool. He was in our. I was having a chat with him at the match last year, and he's absolutely obsessed with getting to Liverpool games. But he's one of those jockeys. I was talking about his injury record with him, and of course we saw Ruby Walsh refracture his leg the other day. Everyone said, "Oh, that's terrible." Then you think how many injuries Ruby's had, and he's the same as Ruby. And when you meet him, and he's quite happy to talk about it, one of his eyes is he's almost got zero vision in it because of a fall, so he has to wear these specially designed shades, which sort of levels out his vision on the horse.
Unbelievable.
But his body is absolutely battered by years of horse racing, Robbie Power.
It's madness when you think about it. And we've just seen, obviously, Ruby Walsh break his leg, and you're thinking, that was just like, Ruby Walsh, he's got a leg injury, and then we move on, and the next jockey comes in, and it's just like an afterthought. And you go, did that actually happen? If a footballer was to break his leg on a football pitch, it's back page news. He's out for the season and blah, blah, blah. And it's big news. If a jockey breaks his leg, and the next jockey.
But at least he's sitting on a horse.
I wouldn't like a horse sitting on me if I fall on a fence. And these are brave, brave men, by the way. And I don't think people estimate how brave these guys are. They're running, they're coming towards fences at great pace on this big, massive specimens. I just think it's an unbelievable sport. And National Hunt Racing, at its best, is what Cheltenham and Aintree is all about. And you'll see the crowd, you'll see the anticipation, you'll see the passion, the endeavour and everything else in one full race today. Not as big as the Grand National, but it's the second best race in the National Hunt calendar.
So Robbie Power on
Arduke.
That's the one.
Look out for Apple Shakira in the first race today.
He's getting excited already.
I am. Can't wait.
He's off for a full day watching Cheltenham. What a life. Tony, brilliant. Thank you very much indeed.
The Kickoff
with Steve Hothersall.
Rock, sport, and talk.
Radio City Talk.